It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out about a one-of-its-kind program at the UW-Madison focusing on hip-hop and urban arts that's going strong in its 10th year.
First, Republican presidential candidates faced off last night in the last debate of 2015. We're now a month and a half away from the Iowa caucuses, the kickoff of what's shaping up to be an uncertain primary fight.
On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton is maintaining her lead over Bernie Sanders in both Iowa and national polls. And also this week, the House and Senate will decide the fate of big spending and tax bills that would keep the government operating into next fall.
Time now for our weekly look at the latest in national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, quick read, do we have a winner coming out of last night's GOP debate?
I guess CNN's a winner for all the people that tuned in. But no, I don't think that there was a real quote-unquote winner. I think this might have actually been the most even-handed debate, where pretty much all of the top candidates did fairly well, or at least didn't do disastrously bad. Donald Trump held his own. He really didn't get attacked. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz kind of both elevated each other. And Jeb Bush, who had been pretty much left for dead, and I think most people don't believe that he is going to end up being the nominee, he got in a few good verbal barbs with Donald Trump. So I think everyone kind of did well, and I don't expect much necessarily to change because of the debate.
In terms of substance, a lot of focus on national security last night. What were some of the main themes you saw in the back and forth?
So this is one of the most interesting sort of things that's come about this primary. A lot of people for a while have been waiting for this matchup between Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, both quote-unquote Tea Party candidates, or candidates that aligned with the Tea Party, both who were recently elected to the United States Senate, Marco Rubio in 2010, Ted Cruz in 2012. And they do differ on foreign policy. Marco Rubio is one of the most hawkish candidates in the field. I mean, maybe Lindsey Graham is more hawkish than he is. Well, Ted Cruz is, some might say he's more realistic. So, for instance, Ted Cruz argued that, hey, we cannot have go and topple dictators in the Middle East and then leave a vacuum there, because sometimes dictators may not be good for the people who are living in those countries, but they're better for us than having an ISIS come into, say, Syria or Iraq and basically make our lives very, very difficult. So it was a very interesting thing where you saw Rubio running to Cruz's right on foreign policy.
Speaking of Ted Cruz, he was maybe in the hot seat because he was leading in at least one Iowa poll, actually getting out ahead of Trump in that. Were people watching him more closely maybe than in past debates?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Ted Cruz, who was, I think the poll you're alluding to is the Des Moines Register poll, which is run by Ann Selzer, which has a very illustrious history and has been very accurate. And Cruz was leading Trump in that state in that poll 31-21%, which was Cruz's largest lead so far in Iowa. I think he is getting some real spotlight. People are starting to look more carefully at his positions, both foreign policy, immigration, whether or not he has the temperament to be president of the United States. And so right now we're sort of in this position in the race where Donald Trump is leading in the national polls. Cruz probably has a slight lead in Iowa. And then sort of Rubio is this third candidate that most people are waiting to break out, but we're not quite sure if he's going to be able to do it.
Staying with polls for a moment, a headline I love from your piece on 538, quoting, "Polls suggest Trump will win between 8% and 64% of the vote." What?
This is a great thing. So, you know, we talk about these polls and meaning something right now. So the stuff that I do is I went back to 1980, basically nomination processes without an incumbent running for that given party's nomination, said, how predictive were the polls at this point? And it turns out that while the people who poll high generally do well, there are plenty of those that don't. So the margin, what I call the predictive margin of error, given that Trump is polling right now in the low 30s, he could end up well back in the single digits based solely on the polling, or he could end up well up into the 60s. And the other candidates as well who are polling lower, they could end up far ahead of where they are right now. So the polls right now may say Donald Trump's ahead, but there is a long way to go.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538 in our weekly wrap-up of national politics. I want to touch base with Chris Christie back on the main stage. He'd been bumped out in a previous debate. Some momentum you've talked about with us before in New Hampshire. He definitely was trying to make himself heard last night.
Yeah, he was definitely going to go for that vote. That was all these candidates that were on the stage. You had the Rubio and Cruz debate that was, quote-unquote, substantive, and Christie was, after they spoke, like, this is just Senate talk, people. I want to talk to you real. I want to be this real guy, sort of this macho man, almost in the Donald Trump sort of mold. And indeed, Christie and Trump sort of get the same supporters up in New Hampshire, and both these moderate liberal voters, they both get them. And Christie does have some sense of momentum. And keep in mind, the race in New Hampshire right now, even though Trump is ahead, he's not as far ahead as he is nationally. He's only in the mid-20s. And Christie is right around 10% of the vote. All he needs to do is pick up a few percentage points more support, and he will be the clear second-place person there. And say then Cruz wins in Iowa and Trump drops further in New Hampshire, Christie might be able to pick up the scraps and win a state like New Hampshire. So Christie is in the ballgame right now, but he still has a long way to go.
Stay with polls for a minute, but on the Democratic side, some new polls coming out. What are we seeing there?
It's the same old story. Look, people seem to think that maybe there's a contest on the Democratic side. I know the Bernie Sanders fans critique me often for saying that the Democratic race is all but over, and the polls right now, though, show that this race is pretty much all but over. Hillary Clinton continues to command a very large lead nationally. She's near 60%, 55 to 60% of the vote. In Iowa, she has not trailed in a poll in at least 3 months. She's up, depending on which poll you look at, from somewhere from, say, like 8 to, I think, one poll had her up nearly 32 percentage points. That's a wide margin of error, to be sure, but she's clearly ahead, and she has the endorsements from all these elected officials, and those in the past, when someone has as many endorsements as she's had, in fact, she has the most on record, but anybody who has anywhere close to the amount of endorsements she has at this point in the campaign have easily gone on the win. So she just remains prohibitive favorite on the Democratic side.
But, Harry, I saw a tweet you sent out that had the words Martin O'Malley, surge, and there was a chart.
Yes, there was a chart. I was being a little jokey.
I figured.
Martin O'Malley has gone up from all the way from 1% to 5% in Iowa. It's kind of upsetting or sad in some way. Martin O'Malley is a serious candidate. Had been governor of Maryland for 2 terms. I think he came into this race believing he was going to be the anti-Hillary Clinton, but it just hasn't worked out for him. Bernie Sanders speaks much more to the liberal base than the Democratic Party, and O'Malley is just sort of a third wheel in this race.
Let's visit Congress now, Harry. They're set to vote on tax and spending packages in the coming days. A big bill, a lot of deals, a lot of subpoints there. Can't get to everything there, but what stands out?
I think what stands out is that Congress is actually going to compromise. People are saying that Congress is broken, but, you know, the reports have been and had been for a while now that they were going to come to an agreement. They're going to do the spending bill separately from the tax bill. But it seems to me that both sides are both happy and unhappy. They didn't get everything they wanted. You know, Democrats are not particularly happy with the ending of the U.S. export ban on oil. Republicans didn't get exactly what they wanted with regards to Syrian refugees and perhaps putting a halt on that program or making it much more difficult to get into the country. But it seems that both sides have come to the table, have compromised, and we are going to have a spending and tax bill in place by the end of the year.
So there aren't enough things that either side is angry enough to where there are deal breakers that are going to get enough votes or fail to get enough votes, I guess, to shut this thing down.
Right. It doesn't seem so. So, I mean, the Democrats are probably going to provide more than half the votes for the spending bill. Republicans are much more reluctant to back that, but there'll be enough Democrats to back the spending bill while there'll be enough Republicans to back the tax break bill. So basically, neither side's exactly happy. But at this point, unless there's some, and I never put it past Washington to, you know, screw something up, but unless there's some 23rd hour thing that goes on, it looks like this bill is going to pass.
As of right now, any idea when it will pass?
They're saying potentially by the end of the week. We'll see. But at this point, that's what it's looking like.
So no debates, I think, for the rest of calendar year 2015. Back to the presidential race for a moment, Harry. What are you watching for in terms of polls or other indicators?
I think there are going to be basically three things that I'm watching for. Number one, on the Republican side, is there going to be a candidate who can get the support of what I call the party actors, basically those who are elected to Congress, the governors? Right now, the party actors really haven't gotten behind any of the candidates big time. In the past, the candidate who gets the majority of support from these party actors tends to go on and win. So we're going to see if one person is able to corral, you know, a much more sizable plurality. Two, we're going to look and see, can Rubio break out anywhere? Right now he's kind of holding back. He continues to have very high favorability ratings, but can he break out in either Iowa or New Hampshire? And three, Chris Christie in New Hampshire, can he break out from, say, 10% to 15 or 20%? And if he can, then that race could get very interesting very quickly in New Hampshire.
Harry, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time with the latest in national politics.